Today's share in the Dear Shur Mishneh Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. We're in the third volume of Mishneh Berurah in the middle of Siman Shin Lamed, which deals with the laws of childbirth. And today we'll learn as well about newborn baby care on Shabbos. We begin on the last line of Kuf Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph with Siv Vav. The Mechaber writes, Osin Midura Leoledes Kol Shloshim Yom. We discussed yesterday that there are different time periods, the period of time of 72 hours after birth, the period of time a week after birth, and now we're discussing the period of time of a month after birth. Now, in general, the woman is considered a choleh she'ein bo sakana. She's a choleh, but she has the halachic status of a choleh she'ein bo sakana during this period of time. One exception over here is in regards to cold. And the Mechaber is telling us over here that you're allowed to go and light a fire, we'll see, even if there's no non-Jewish person available, a Jewish person will be allowed to go light a fire for her because she is especially prone to suffering from cold during this period of time. So therefore, the Mechaber tells us you're allowed to light a madura, a bonfire, which today we'll see would be a furnace to turn on the heat for a woman who's given birth within the last 30 days. The Mishneh Berurah explains in Sivkot and Chaf that this is huadim bizmanenu lohochei matanar. Nowadays, you turn up the furnace, you turn up the heat in the house, that's the equivalent there of making a bonfire in those days. And you can do this, Mishneh Berurah, Sivkot and Chaf, Aleph Kol Shloshim, for the 30-day period of time after she gave birth, she is considered over here that she is especially at risk for cold. Im yesh l'tzar tzina, if she has pain from the cold, then the svirule we hold, the yesh sakona l'chaya kol shloshim betzina, there's something specially at risk for this woman from cold during the 30 days after she's given birth, and therefore, lefikach, the Mishneh Berurah tells us, im e efshar ayidei ovig ilulim, if there is no non-Jewish person that can turn up the furnace, put on the bonfire over here, Osin Ayidei Yisrael. It brings out from the Morgan of Rav, the Shagas Aryeh, that even a Jewish person would be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for this woman within the 30 days after childbirth for cold. Ulishar Chole, for anybody else, Ayidei Ovid Gilulim Mutter, Afilu Le'en Sakona Im Tzorech Lemedura. For anybody that's normally a status of a Chole She'en Bo Sakona, you can ask a non-Jewish person to go and turn up the furnace for them. However, Uliyesh Sakona, for somebody that's at risk, Im Omish Tzorech, if the person says, I'm cold and I need to have the heat on, Mutter Afilu Ayidei Yisrael, then you can have even a Jewish person turn on the flame, turn on the furnace over here, Mishi Evshor Bovi Gilulim. He brings out from the Bach and the El Yeraba, even if there is no non-Jewish person available, then you can even have a Jewish person for somebody that's a chola sheyesh bo sakana to go turn on the flame, to turn on the furnace because they're cold. However, the Mishneh Berurah then says, look in the Bir Halacha, ayin in the Bir Halacha, and we can see this in Dibur HaMaskil Kol Shloshim, where the Mishneh Berurah tells us that many disagree with this. Shevesi das harbe gedolei rishonim, brings out many gedolim that disagree over here. And they say, shesovrim, they hold, the chaya achar shiva dino le'inyon medura gam kein kishar chola she'en bo sakana. That they hold not this lenient opinion that the Mechaber brings down over here, but they hold that a woman after 7 days after childbirth, the period of time between day 8 and day 30 is like a regular chola she'ein bo sakana, and only via a non-Jewish person would you be allowed to go and turn on the furnace, but not via a Jewish person, again, unless there is a safek pikuach nefashos. And you can see the words of the Chofetz Chaim at the very end of that Dibur HaMaschil in the Bir HaLocha, where he writes, Umeyacha shelo motzinu shum mashmos le'eze posik. We don't find any hint even, except levad mi ha'raivit, that distinguishes Shiomar Shadin Hamadura Khamir Mikol Tsar Chayachaya, that there's a distinction over here between the need for heat and all the other needs for a woman after childbirth within the 8 to 30 day period of time. Vhulam Hetiku Liaktomas Dinamo Ela Mimre Denardoy Shamru Chaya Gimu Vizain Vilamid, and they make this distinction between the periods of time of up to 3 days, up to 7 days, and up to 30 days. So Koshim Ma'od Lahokal Lasos Madura Aide Yisrael Ad Lamed. And therefore the Chofetz Chaim concludes Halach Lamaisa, that one really shouldn't rely upon this kula that the Mechaber brought down, and that really you should ask a non-Jewish person to turn on the furnace for a chola she'en bo sakana over here, this woman in childbirth from day 8 through day 30. And he says, Tzarech in Lamaisa, what you should do if you don't have a non-Jewish person available. The issue footnote number 28 brings down Va'av Shalah Halacha Mekilim B'Safi B'Kuch Nefashos. They're normally Ramekel, so the Renis and Karlitz Shlita brings down over here. Shekivan Shehamokel Lahokel B'din Zehu Kalush Mod. It's a very weak thought process over here to say that there's something different about heat versus other needs of the woman who gave birth between day 8 and 30. So ein lahalka b'sveiko here, we're not makel in this situation. Again, unless there is any thought that it's really a pikuach mafashos. And Rabbi Yisachar Lishlita adds, v'hosef, shenira sheyesh chashash sakona liyoledes, kigon shemarkish umodes hakar, yesh lahalka lasos lamadur at shloshim yom mehaleda. He says, however, as I just pointed out, if there's even the slightest risk over here that she really is at more risk than you think, then you are allowed to go do this even by a Jewish person. Dishu footnote number 24 brings down, Misha Hekis Dan Vitzdanin, if somebody had a phlebotomy and he becomes cold afterwards, so in Shin Chav Ches, we've learned in Shulchan Aruch, Sheesh Lahadlik Avur Medura, Afilu B'tkufas Tamas. And that's what the Mechaber says over here. Afilu B'tkufas Tamas, these dinim that we say you can or cannot light under what circumstances, a Jewish person, non-Jewish person, this applies even in the summer months, even when it's objectively warm outside, but if the sick person says that they are cold, so then this doesn't make any distinction whether it's Tammuz or in the middle of the winter, we are allowed to go light the flame, we're allowed to go heat up the furnace for the sick person. And he brings down the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Samach Beis over there. Shemutu lasus kein afilai de Yisrael. Even if it's objectively 100 degrees outside in the middle of the summer, and the sick person, the woman, let's say, who just gave childbirth, says, I'm cold, so according to the Mechaber's lenient opinion that a Jewish person can light this, even though it's 100 degrees outside, the Jewish person will be allowed to turn up the heat. Because again, the Mechaber's position is, there is some risk to the woman during this period of time. And he adds, Shuadin Shemuta Lahadlik Mendura Avor Shar Chola Mesukan Shekarlo. You're allowed to do this for anybody that's cold, not only for the sick woman. Lefisha Stam Chola Mesukan Huetz Latzina Elishin Efshe Yesh Lasos Kenaydi Nochwi. But you should try to do this for a Chola Sheimbo Sakana via a non Jewish person as well. But if it seems the lenient opinion of the Mechaber would apply even over there as well to non childbirth situations where the Chola says, I'm very cold. Now we go to the Ramah. The Ramah says over here, the immutar macherim l'schamim kenegem dura. Once you have a heter to go light this furnace over here, can other people stay in the house and benefit from the heat? So that's already been discussed in great detail. Ayin la'el simin reish ayin vav, where we had a whole discussion about different situations. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. You'd be allowed to benefit from it. Depends on numerous other variables. Ayin sham, go back over the shir that we gave over there on reish ayin vav. Now we go to Siv Zayin. The Mechaber writes, Havlad Shenolad, a child that's born, Baruch Hashem Mazel Tov, Osen Lo Kol Sarachav. You're allowed to go and do anything needed to save that child's life, to take care of that child. And the Mishnah Berurah explains in Siv Katan Chav Beis, Haynu Ha Dimavor Lekame. What are the things that you're allowed to do? Kol Sarachav, we're now going to say here in the Mechaber. So for example, the Mechaber says, Umar Chitzin Oso, you're allowed to go and wash the child. Mishnah Berurah explains in Siv Katan Chav Gimel, Eino Lefi Aseidah Hamavu B'shast, Umepik Mikra. The order that the Mechaber is using over here is not necessarily the order that you would actually take care of the baby. It's just using it following the psukim. B'sham isa dechotchin hatabor v'achakach rochton. So the correct order would be: you first, of course, cut the umbilical cord, and then you go wash the baby. And the chin kos of a Rambam perak beis milchos Shabbos. So again, we're tealing here. We're just following the psukim in terms of the order, but this isn't the order that you would actually take care of the baby. Furthermore, the Mishnah says v'da the mima shehivi amogin avrom b'shem atosus. You should try not to do a melacha d'orais over here based upon the Mogen Avraham's understanding of Tosos. Because not doing any of these things will not put the baby at any risk. It'll just give the baby a little bit of discomfort and suffering, which of course we don't want to do, and therefore you're allowed to do this if you don't transgress in Issa d'orais. And therefore, v'im kein, l'fi zeh, based upon what we just said, im ein lo sakin lachtoch hatabur, if you don't have a knife to go cut the umbilical cord, v'tzorech lavio derech rishus harabin, you'd have to bring the knife through a real rishus harabin, which would be an issa d'oraisa, then osur lahavio, since the baby will not suffer any real consequences by not cutting the umbilical cord. As we see, you have to tie it off, and if you're able to do so without putting the baby at any risk, so then you're not allowed to do an issa d'oraisa, bringing the knife to cut the baby's umbilical cord. Ella, what should you do? Ella yikshirenu liyesata. You tie it off in a way that's not an issa d'oraisa. And the same thing applies. V'adim b'shai dvarim hamuskarim kan. All these other things over here have to be done in a way that it's only an issa d'rabanan, because none of these are really life-threatening to the baby, and they're really for the comfort of the baby, so you can transgress an issa d'rabanan, but you can't transgress an issa d'oraisa. He brings down as well the Mishnah Berurah that he writes in the Bir Halacha. Hevesi das rishonim demutal lechala b'locha daraisa b'shulzeh. Others disagree and are more makel and say you can even do an issa daraisa. Ayin sham, we'll see it over there in a moment. Ve'al kolponim lavia yidei ovi gilulim o lahochem chamin ayodo lirchot savlad bivadei mutter. Bottom line, however, it would certainly be preferable to have a non-Jewish person do this, even according to the opinions that say a Jewish person is allowed to do this. And if you look in the Bir Halacha, Dibra Maschel Havlod Shenolad, he does bring down over here, Bishultos Derav Achoy, Parsha Shmos, in the Shultos Derav Achoy Gon, in Parsha Shmos, he brings down Mashma, that's dealing with Shifra and Pua and the Mialados over there, Mashma Deminias Chito Chatabur, that if you don't cut the umbilical cord, it could be dangerous for the child. And he writes, this is his language over there, Mahu lachto tabur b'shabbos, are you allowed to go and cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos? Ki kol maboy li b'chad vlad, mi amrin an efsho li azarue, hainu b'kshira tzatabur levad, v'lo osi li sakona, odum ozimnim de lava daite v'osi li sakona. He questions over there, can it be done without putting the child at risk? And at the end of this long bir halacha, the Chofetz Chaim concludes, Al koponim nir pashut, deish lahok lechatchila, lahok im cham aide ovi gilulim kidei leracha etzatinok, all things should ideally be done via a non-Jewish person where possible, k'moshe kasati mishtabura, as he had already mentioned in the mishtabura, and then he found that this was exactly the position of the Nezi Yisrael, in the name of the Shelus Teshuva Sholom Eishiv, who says exactly like this. And that is the halacha l'maisa, again, assuming that you have a non-Jewish person available, that is certainly the way that you should go. The next statement that the Mechaber says you're allowed to do, umol chenoso, you can salt the child. What does this mean? So the Mishnah Berurah explains, the sifkat nchav dalet, kidei shiyiskashe habasu. He brings down from Rashi that putting salt on the child, I'm not sure if it means actually salt, or maybe some salt water solution over here, will firm up the child's flesh. Umashmi is there, we see from this, the hamalicha tia bemelach, and you should use salt for this, he brings down from the Prima Godim. Obeferis HaMishnah L'Rambam Kosev, in the Pirush of Esnais, the Rambam, he writes, V'nosin olav avak hahadas vadomolo. He says, you put on the dust of a myrtle, or something like this. V'chei mashem bi'aruch, erich laf, ayin sham. And this is also the opinion of the Aruch, which is a major dictionary, so to say, on many of these halachic terms, and look over there to see this discussion. The next thing the Mechaber says you're allowed to do for the newborn is v'tomnin hashilya. You're allowed to go and bury the placenta, hide the placenta. But the Mishnah Berurah explains, the sifkat nchafei v'lo b'karka, but you can't put it into the ground. The mishum zel kuliyam olo mechal l'nashabasa, because that digging a hole in the ground is certainly not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for the purpose of putting away the placenta. So on a weekday they would bury it in the ground, but what would they do on Shabbos? Elokach hayom min hogim kishchol b'Shabbos. This is what they would do. Ashiros, the rich women, tomin osol b'sfalim shel shemen. They would put the placenta inside these bowls of oil, or b'sfugin shel tzemer, or in some sort of clumps of wool. But the poor girls, vanios, they would place the placenta on Shabbos bimochin or b'tevin. They would go put it in some sort of a clump of cloth, a rag of some sort, or straw. But everybody, on a weekday, b'chol, eilveil, both the rich and the poor women, tomenos habaretz, based upon the Yerushalmi, they would bury the placenta in the ground. The issue footnote number 25 brings down the reason for this in the Yerushalmi, ishu kidei litain a ravon la'aretz. Some sort of a collateral to the ground. What does this mean? So the Korban Eid and the Pnei Moshe say over there, Shukite litin mashkon v'simon la'aretz, sha'afo odom li'acha mosa yoshev ele'a. This is sort of say to symbolize, to remember, from dust you come, from dust you shall return. So therefore, a person should remind himself that our stay on this world is a temporary stay. We will eventually return to the earth. He further brings down, Mitam Zed, the Dayin Weiss Zatzal, and the Minchas Yitzchak brings down, Trufos. You shouldn't use the placenta. Unfortunately, nowadays, there are people that go and do all sorts of various things with placenta, including eating them, which are Isurim. And he says, the Minchas Yitzchak, that you're not allowed to go and make medications out of the placenta. You're supposed to place it into the ground. There is absolutely no shred of evidence to suggest that eating the placenta is of any benefit, and therefore it is Osir. And likewise, the placenta is number of a miscarriage. They might actually have a miscarried baby inside, requires kvura. And therefore, Lachain English Tamish Bishoyos Lutzorech Tasios Trufos. Dain Weiss Satsal brings down, you're absolutely forbidden to use the placenta to make medications out of it. The King Kosov going to Yoyashiv. And Yoyashiv as well says the same thing. O Bimikush Yesh Sarah Godo Lito Dam. But if there is a medicinal need, so yesh laso shelus chacham, then you're allowed to do this, but you should ask a talmud chacham, you should get a psak halacha to say what the need would be over here to use either the blood or something from the placenta for medicinal purposes, real medicinal purposes. And if in the placenta there certainly is not over here any miscarriage, dainush ein bogidim, there is nothing there that would be mistaken for a fetus inside. So Rav Moshe Feinstein, that's how the Igros Moshe says, ein chiyuv lekachas mibesachol nukvur, then there is no obligation to bury such a miscarriage tissue. Now, why would they go and bury the shoya? So The Mechaber continues, it says, Kidei she'echam avlat. Somehow, this would miraculously make the child not cold. The Mishnah Berurah explains, in Sivkot and Chavav, ha'yazeh miderech segula etzlam. This was a metaphysical, supernatural effort, not a medically proven benefit. Then the Mechaber says, you cut the umbilical cord. As we said, it's out of order over here. He's going by the psukim, but you're allowed to cut the umbilical cord as well. That would normally be done the first thing. Mishnah Berurah explains, if cut chav zayin, acha shekoshin. So, of course, you don't just cut it. The baby would, rachmon islam, bleed to death over here. The mother could also possibly bleed to death. You cut the cord only after you've tied off the two sides, and then you cut in between. And he says, "Ayin the Morgan Avram shachaticha satabro bi'amo eino kim shvus." This is actually not a nisa deraisa; it's only the rabbanon. Or sefer kovitz l'ramum kosa b'shem sefer shoshanim l'dovit shochiach diyesh b'zeh isur deraisa. As opposed to this opinion that's brought down in the name of the Rambam that it is a nisa deraisa. For akachum, why is it permissible over here? Because it's needed to do so. It's a danger for the baby if you don't do this ayin sham. Dish footnote number 26 brings down from the shelus of chuzach hasam sofer and also the teferis yisrael in avodah zara. Kasu shumi daraisa. They also hold that it's a din daraisa over here to cut the umbilical cord, but you're allowed to do this, of course. Obetam adavah kasu v'shoshalim adavid shachotech me'odam harayu kechotech mecharka. That since a person is called, I assume, Adam, because he comes from the Adama, so if you cut a person, it's like you're digging into the ground, which would be an isur daraisa. Now, all these things are allowed to be done for the newborn. This is talking, the Mechaber tells us, v'hani mila benolad de tisha o l'shiva. This is a baby that was born after a 7-month or a 9-month pregnancy, which were considered to be the normal types of pregnancy. Gemara has an interesting idea that a 7-month pregnancy was a normal variant of pregnancy, and 9-month is the normal pregnancy, and therefore 7 and 9 month children from pregnancies of 7 and 9 months can survive, but an 8-month pregnancy, in those days that was considered too premature. There's no such thing as a normal 8 months, so it was always a premature 9 month, could not survive. So when you're allowed to do all these things to the baby, it's when you're dealing with a, quote, viable child from a 7 or 9 month period of pregnancy. However, avol nolad l'shmona, if a child in those days was born after 8 months of pregnancy, or osafek ben shiva or ben shmona, or you're not sure with a 7 or 8 month pregnancy, ein mechalin alav, you weren't allowed to be mechal Shabbos in those days, elo imken gamru sa'aro v'tziparnov, unless you had other evidence, for example, that the hair and the nails were complete in the child, that this was a viable baby. Now, this requires a lot of discussion. So let's see inside in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkot Chav Ches. Where the Mishnah Berurah says, we're talking here about a case, divadei lo chai. All of these dinim are not applicable in a situation today where the child is viable. In those days, we're assuming the facts were that the child is not viable. And therefore, sivkot and chavtes, you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for a non-viable child. As the Mishnah Berurah explains, the kivin the mesafkalon imoyo ben kayama miolim, since there's no proof that this child was ever viable, therefore, lo mechal linon, you're not allowed to, in this situation, go be mechal Shabbos for such a child. This is different than what we learned earlier in Sif Hei, where we're talking about a woman who, Rachmon al-Islam, died, that you're allowed to do an emergency and cesarean section under the conditions and caveats that we mentioned over there, because the child is mistama viable, possibly. Maybe he'll be viable inside. So why over here is it different? The Hossam there, they were talking about it was a normal pregnancy, a complete pregnancy, as he brought down in the name of the Morgan Avram. And he says, he then has a much larger, further discussion about this in the Bir Halacha, Dibra Maskul Osothek Ben Shiva. And at the end of this long Bir Halacha, he concludes, based upon various Piskei Halacha that he brings down over here, Mimele Mechalim Gam Al Sothek Ben Shmona. Today we certainly would be allowed to go and be Mechal Shabbos, even if it's a Sothek, whether it's a 7 or 8 month pregnancy. And we can see further about this nowadays in Dershu footnote number 30, where he brings down the Chazon Ish. Shem Nigru Sarav Tziponov. If the child is born with hair and nails, so then it's definitely a Sothek if it's a Ben Kayama. And therefore, Chayavim Lishtadel B'Refuoso Ulchal Lovas HaShabbos. You certainly are allowed to do everything needed to go and take care of the child. Dain Weizatzal in the Shelos Achuvas Minchas Yitzhak adds, Shagam Betinok Shaboru Shenolad B'Chodesh Hashmini. Nowadays, even if it's born definitely in the 8th month, Mutu l'chal Shabbos latzoloso, ubefrat imyesh l'ktsasi pernayim v'saros, as long as it has a little bit of hair and nails. Again, the Dayan Weiss lived a number of years ago, well before modern perinatology and NICUs, neonatal ICUs. He further brings down from the Mincha Shlomo and from the Shevet Halevi, both Zatzal, Shizmanenu, nowadays, Shiyodim Lahachios, Gamis Mishinolad, Bechodesh HaChamish Yoshishi. Nowadays, children that are born even in the fourth and fifth month, you can have a child that could be a 23, 24-week fetus, and some of them can survive certainly 25 and 26 weeks and up. Mutter, you're certainly allowed, V'chayovim, and obligated, L'chal V'shavos Latzalah, so even if there is no evidence that the child is somewhat mature and therefore viable, because the medical technology has made it today that these children are viable, and therefore you can do everything for such a child that's born that has the potential from a medical point of view to be viable. We have one more Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat Lamed. We'll do that in Mitzvah Hashem tomorrow. This concludes today's shiur.